Thank you, Gary. That was a nice reworking of that song. So one day, Queen Elizabeth I, not the second, not the one we know that just died, Queen Elizabeth I went out for a walk, and she was interrupted in her walk by a mud puddle. And Sir Walter Raleigh, who is a sir, but he was a bit of a pirate and a bit of a mischief maker, Sir Walter Raleigh, he reportedly took off his magnificent cloak, right? And he covered the puddle so that the queen's feet would not get wet. Queen Elizabeth nodded her head and passed by without saying a word. Now, this might be a true story or it might be something that they invented after the fact, but the story is a great example of the personal sacrifice that royal subjects were expected to offer their monarch. So when Jesus enters Jerusalem, the people covered the street with their cloaks, their jackets, and the streets were filthy. I don't know if you've ever studied the ancient world, but streets were pretty gross in the ancient world. And Jesus was riding on a donkey, and there was also a colt in the parade, the foal of a donkey. And the cloaks, they would have been covering up some pretty icky stuff. They would have been really gross by the end of the triumphant entry. And just like Sir Walter Raleigh, the people of Jerusalem, they made a personal sacrifice in order to honor Jesus, to say, we want you to be our king. We want you to lead us. The crowd also waved palm fronds, which I should have in my hand. I dropped mine. Oh, well. They waved that. And as I was telling the kids earlier, it was a sign, a symbol of Jewish nationalism. This is the American flag, first century Judea. And waving the flags for Jesus was like waving American flags on the 4th of July. And the crowds were begging Jesus to lead them in a revolutionary war against the Romans. And they covered the streets with palm branches so that even the hooves of the donkey would not touch the ground. Now, covering the streets with cloaks and palms was how they rolled out the red carpet in first century Jerusalem. And they welcomed Jesus as the King of the Jews so that he would do what they wanted. Hey, we're going to make you king. Now, you owe us something. You've got to do what we want. Jesus reversed the expectations. He wasn't going to act like any king the world had ever seen. Instead of taking a throne, instead of wearing a crown of glory, he wore a crown of thorns, and he laid down his life, not just to save the people who were waving their patriotic symbol of palms, but to save the entire world, anyone who puts their faith in him as salvation. But before he was to do that, before he laid down his life, before we get to the Holy Week story on Monday, Thursday, on Good Friday, Jesus did something radical. He rolled out the red carpet for the least likely people in that society. He reversed expectations. You wave palms for me? You lay out the red carpet for me? No. Let me roll out the red carpet for you and welcome you into my Father's love, into the grace of God. Hear the good news that Jesus welcomes anyone and everyone, including you, including me, to his saving grace. From Matthew 21, verses 12 through 17. Jesus entered the temple courts, and he drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those who were selling doves. It is written, he said, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it into a den of robbers. The blind and the lame, they came to him at the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children singing in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David. Uh-oh. Ah, there we go. Good. I'm going to read that again. I'm going to give you a second chance, all right? And I'm going to need some other people to act childish here and join in the chorus. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things Jesus did, the children and some adults shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you not read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? And then he left them and went out to the city of Bethany, where he spent the night. And all God's people said, Hosanna. Very good. Okay, 3 points today. Number one, Jesus welcomed the foreigners. Okay, point number one, Jesus welcomed the foreigners. You comfortable with that? I hope so. I hope you're comfortable with that. Okay, so King Solomon, he's the guy that originally built the first temple in Jerusalem, right? And Solomon was a wise man. He asked his neighbors for help. And so King Solomon paid thousands of workers from foreign countries. Did you know that? It's in the Bible. To come into Israel and to build his temple. Anyone work in construction or architecture? He paid a lot of foreigners to come in and do this work. And they cut timber and they carved stone for his temple. And Solomon, he hired an artist from Tyre or Tyre. People argue about the pronunciation. I grew up with Tyre. I think Tyre is more correct. Forgive me. I'm just going to say Tyre. It's what I'm used to. He hired an artist from Tyre to design all the bronze furnishings of the temple. All of the bronze furnishings in the temple were designed by a foreigner from Tyre, an enemy of Israel. On the day of consecration, Solomon prayed that his temple would not just be a temple for his people, but that it would draw all nations to the God of Israel. Did you know that? That the temple was built by foreigners, and it was always intended to welcome foreigners to the God of Israel. From day one, on the day of consecration, Solomon prayed this. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people, Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm when they come and they pray towards this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place. Listen to this prayer. Do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you. This is the prayer at the beginning of the temple in Jerusalem. Do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that the people of earth may know your name and fear you. That's how the temple starts, with a prayer for the foreigner, that they might know the God of Israel, that God might do whatever they needed. The temple. It was always intended for Jews and Gentiles, for the insiders and the outsiders, for the locals and the foreigners. There were four different courts in the temple. There's one for priests, one for men, one for women, and one for Gentiles. The largest court of all four of them was the court of the Gentiles. About 35 acres in size. And foreigners were not allowed to come any closer than that, but they were given ample space, 35 acres of space, in order to worship God. Then the high priest Caiaphas turned the court of Gentiles into a marketplace. Caiaphas tried to destroy the historic marketplace on the Mount of Olives, which shows up later in the story, by starting a new marketplace that he controlled on the temple grounds. And he permitted money changers, and he permitted animal sellers to set up shop in that 35 acres designed for foreigners to worship. Now the foreigners had no place to pray because they developed a convenience store for the people of Israel in the court of the Gentiles. Most people read this story wrong. They feel like the money changers were taking advantage of the people coming to the temple. You probably heard that before. There's no evidence of that. Where is that written in the Bible? It's because the word thief, we think of that. What's being stolen is not the money of the people. It's the land reserved for the foreigners. People like you, people like me. I don't have Jewish heritage. I'm the foreigner. You're the foreigner. These people that change money, they donated their time. This is their mission trip. They didn't make money off of it at all. They just came and they did even exchanges. That's what they did. They took no advantage of this. That was their job. They weren't thieves. And the people who were selling animals in the marketplace, okay, so they were making a little extra money. Like when you go to 7-Eleven and you buy a carton of milk, it's a little bit more expensive for the sake of convenience, right? Convenience store prices for the animals, but not wicked out of line prices. They could have gone up the hill and they could have bought it for a higher or a lower price, but not that good of a deal. It was a better deal to get it there. The thievery was that Caiaphas had created a marketplace and a space created for foreigners. The land was taken away. The space was taken away. The prayer invitation for the foreigners of the world was taken away for the sake of the convenience of those on the inside. Instead of focusing on the convenience of his own people, Jesus, he rolls out the red carpet here for the stranger. That's why he's flipping tables. That's why he's swinging a whip. That's why he's chasing animals. Jesus didn't have a problem with animals. But he's making space for people, saying, no, this is where the foreigner goes to pray to God and to worship and to ask for anything. And God would give it to them. Just like King Solomon, Jesus wanted the whole world to worship the God of Israel. And that's why the gospel message has spread across the globe through Jesus Christ, to bring that good news to strangers and foreigners like you and me. Unless this is your heritage, this is incredibly good news, because Jesus on that day was rolling out the red carpet for you and me when he went to the cross. Does that make sense? That's why he flipped tables. Number two, Jesus welcomed the blind and the lame. Now, King David, he had a tough time conquering Jerusalem in the first place. It was a well-fortified city. It was controlled by the Jebusites, who lived in Jerusalem, and they taunted David, okay? Maybe some of you will remember this from the Old Testament. Maybe not. It's kind of obscure, okay? So forgive me. But if you look in 2 Samuel 5:6, they say from Jerusalem, in this fortified city, to David, you will never get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off. Okay? That's what they said to David. That's the taunt. The historical record promises us. Now, it's not wise to taunt a great soldier and a great king like David. So David told his soldiers, anyone who conquers the Jebusites will have to use their water shaft to reach those lame and blind who are David's enemies. And so when David finally conquered Jerusalem, the Bible says that the blind and the lame were not welcome in the royal palace. King David did a lot of good things, but he could hold a grudge in not a very positive way. And 1,000 years later, The blind and the lame were finally allowed to beg inside the temple or inside of Jerusalem, but there was a bias against the blind and the lame. When a temple priest lost his vision, he was kicked out of his job. If he could no longer walk, he was no longer allowed to lead worshipers in the temple, okay? You had to be right. You couldn't be blind or lame and do your job as a pastor or a priest. Well, that doesn't seem very fair, speaking as someone who needs these to see. Otherwise, I don't know who you are. You all look like blobs to me right now. I hear laughter, but I can't see smiles on your faces. Oh, yes, I see some smiles now. Now, a few years ago, I took a church youth group. Not a youth group, but mostly older people, through that same water system that David used to sneak into Jerusalem and take it over in the first place. And it was pitch black, all right? And I felt absolutely blind when we turned off our flashlights. And the water was up to my knees in that water shaft. We had some members of our group who were vertically challenged, so it was up to their waist, okay? And I got to tell you, I felt blind and I felt lame as I was sneaking into Jerusalem through these passages, through the water, through the darkness. I couldn't see and I couldn't walk right, and I could slip at any moment. I had to keep on watching my head because the passageway was not built for people over 6 feet tall. So I kept on bonking my head on the stone. When we finally stumbled out of the darkness, where does that path lead? It leads to the pool of Siloam, where Jesus once healed a man born blind. We don't always get these stories. Unless you've been there, why would you know about the Pool of Siloam? What does that mean? You've heard the name maybe, but what is that about? It's where this passageway leads. We also visited the Pool of Bethesda, where Jesus once healed an invalid who prayed for a miracle for 38 years. Now, before Easter, there are only two kinds of miracles that Jesus performed in Jerusalem. Did you know that? Two kinds of miracles that Jesus performed in Jerusalem before the resurrection. Jesus healed the blind. Jesus healed the lame. Reading the Old Testament helps us understand the New Testament. Amen? This is important. Why? Because Jesus was reversing the curse of his ancestor David, saying, no, I'm making Jerusalem available for the blind and the lame, the very people that my ancestor David kept out. I'm going to make space for the blind. I'm going to make space for the lame. I'm going to make space for anyone. Once again, Jesus is demonstrating he's a very different kind of king. He's not the kind of king who says, I'm great and powerful, and I'm going to exclude the people I don't like. He says, I'm going to use my power, I'm going to use my authority to welcome the least likely people in. Jesus rolled out the red carpet so anyone, everyone can join his Father's kingdom. So in today's story, Jesus dismantles the marketplace in the temple, and then he heals the blind and the lame. God's house is not a shopping mall where you find the stuff you want, and God's house is a hospital where you find the healing you need. Hospitals prioritize patients with heart pain above those with sprained ankles. Amen? Thank God, that saves lives. The same must be true of the church. Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come not to call the righteous, but the sinners. What that means is that the church exists not for your comfort, not for your convenience. This church exists for those who are living on the streets in Eugene. This church exists for those who are separated from God because of their addiction, because of their mental health issues, because of their homelessness, because of their struggles with physical problems or emotional problems or psychological problems, or let's be clear, spiritual problems. People who are alienated from the message of Jesus Christ because the church has not been as welcoming as it's supposed to be. I need an amen on that one, because that's truth. That is truth. We got a problem with today's culture. because of what we've done and what we've left undone for this generation of people who are coming up and going, why would I ever go to church with my problems? Why? The church does not exist for your comfort or your convenience. It exists so you could roll out the red carpet for the people who are outside and feel excluded. But Jesus says, come on in. I rolled out the red carpet just for you. Third point is about children, that Jesus welcomed the children. So just to review, first point is that Jesus welcomes the foreigners. Second point, Jesus welcomes the blind and the lame. Third point, Jesus welcomes the King. So King David, he wrote many hymns, praise songs. We call them psalms today, okay? One of my favorites is Psalm 8, and one of the finest worship songs of all time, by the way. King David sings about stepping out into the night sky, and he's marveling at God's heavenly handiwork. This is before light pollution, right? This is when the stars popped. It's not an organ where we have overcast skies most of the time. Was anyone able to actually watch the four planets that came into conjunction this week? Did anyone watch that? Okay, I got one. Were you able to see it? Okay, that's good. That's good. We had some clouds, and we also started a little late. That was my bad. We pulled out the telescope a little late. That's my bad. But he's marveling at the night sky that he looks at every night that he goes to sleep, watching over his sheep, okay? And he says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens through the praise of children and infants. You have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. These are great song lyrics. I wish I knew the tune. Gary, could you work up a tune for us real quick before the end of the service? Okay. Yeah. It'd be great if we knew the actual song tune of this or any of the psalms for that matter. So now the children of Jerusalem, they also enjoyed music. And so when the children in town saw that Jesus was flipping tables and grabbing a whip and chasing the animals out of the court of the Gentiles, you know what they started doing? They started singing to Jesus. They were having fun. And so the children, they're dancing around and they're singing and they're making noise in church, even if their moms and dads say, shh, not this day. Not on Palm Sunday, because Jesus is inviting it. Jesus starts hearing the children say, Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna. You know what it means? It means save us. Save us. The little kids in town are making a holy noise to the Lord. Save us, Jesus. Save us. Not because they want a politician. They want this cool guy who flips tables and cracks whips like Indiana Jones. They didn't know about Indiana Jones back then, by the way. They would know about him later. But the children are saying, we like this guy. We want him to be the king. He welcomes the foreigners. How cool. He welcomes the blind and the lame. How cool. He welcomes children like me. How cool. Now, the older people, they objected to young people's music in those days. Can you believe that? Thankfully, we don't have that problem today, where older people object to the music of young people. Kids these days with their hymns of praise, right? Oh. The chief priests and the scribes got really grumpy because this was a song that could get them all into trouble. They were so scared that the Romans would crack down on Jerusalem if they heard Jesus assuming the throne, being a king, hearing Hosanna. They did not grant Jesus permission to heal the blind and the lame in their city. They did not grant Jesus permission, the ability to roll up the red carpet to foreigners. How dare he? And they certainly didn't grant Jesus permission to let the children sing songs about salvation. Not in their town. But Jesus, he encouraged them. Keep singing. It's like inviting an uncle over to your house. And he encouraged them to keep singing Baby Shark. Driving the poor parents into fits of insanity. Sing Hosanna, kids. Sing Hosanna. And the religious leaders, they commanded Jesus to stop the children from singing, and Jesus refused, and he quotes his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, the king of Israel, David, from Psalm 8. He quotes them. Did he quote the words? Nah. You know what Jesus does? I gotta believe he sang these words. Remember, this is a song. He's not just quoting. As they tell him, you knock it off, Jesus. Jesus starts singing. From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise. I wish I knew the tune. Jesus rolled out or told the religious leaders that his fortress was a children's song. A song of praise to the Lord. And so Jesus rolled out the red carpet for children. The most powerless people in Jerusalem, the most powerful words of praise in the world. Palm Sunday is a royal reversal day. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the power structure was suddenly flipped upside down, and Jesus insisted that the insiders make room for the outsiders. By the way, that's still wisdom for this church today. Amen. And Jesus insisted that the healthy make room for the blind and the lame and the addict and the mentally ill and the homeless. Still good news for this congregation today? Amen. And Jesus insisted that the mature make room for the immature, the type of people that would sing Baby Shark, the type of people who would shout, Hosanna! In the middle of a worship service. And their moms would have to smile about it. Jesus wanted everyone to participate in the kingdom of God. He wanted you to participate in the kingdom of God. He wanted me to participate in the kingdom of God. He said, everyone. You don't have to belong. You don't have to have your life together. You don't have to be mature. Thank God, right? All you have to do is take a trip down the royal highway of the red carpet of welcome that Jesus lays out just for you. Now, next week is Easter Sunday, and spoiler alert, Jesus will rise from the grave next week. Amen. I know. I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't want to ruin Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, but I'm sorry. Spoiler alert, Jesus will rise from the grave again this year. Thanks be to God. Talk about a great reversal. Talk about the weak being made strong. This is the substance of our faith as Christians, that God raised Jesus from the grave to save us from our sins, and not just our sins, but to change the whole wide world into a place where foreigners are welcomed, where the blind and the lame are welcomed, where children are welcomed just the way they are, and that the rest of us make space. And what this means is that you are welcome to invite the most unlikely people to church next Sunday. Whoever that is in your life. Who is the most outrageous, least likely friend, family member, whatever you got to show up at church next Sunday for Easter Sunday? That's your challenge. Red carpet's been rolled out just for them. Whoever that person is in your imagination, the red carpet is rolled out just for them and for you too, if you bring them along. That's what Easter's about, that we get to share the happiest news that the world has ever heard, that resurrection has come and the world is changing for the better through the power of Jesus Christ. Not by your efforts, not by your cleverness, not by your political agenda, not by whatever else is being promised out there, which is just a pack of lies, but by the love of God that we discover in Jesus Christ uniquely and authoritatively. Your least likely friends deserve to hear this good news. That Jesus takes outsiders and turns them into insiders. That Jesus takes the blind and the lame and the hurting and the broken and binds up their wounds. That Jesus takes the children and makes them wise and gives them words that teach their moms and their dads and their pastors and the other grown-ups in this congregation. What it means to glorify God with sincerity and real enthusiasm. This Easter, I want you to roll out the red carpet to someone who's truly unlikely in hopes that they'll feel welcome in the kingdom of God. That is your Easter challenge. I hope you can find a way to live into that this week. Amen.